This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're asking me somebody who's feeling very uncomfortable this morning. It's got to be the brass at the Las Vegas Raiders. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, they were in hot pursuit of Matthew Stafford. Ski vacations, the whole deal. And then Stafford decides to re-sign with the Rams on Friday afternoon, evening. And so now the Raiders have to be thinking, what's our plan B? What's our plan C? None of them are going to look probably as good as Stafford.
Right.
But you have the sixth overall pick. You do have some money to spend, but the draft is not a guarantee. And all the veterans out on the market, well, I can poke holes in every single one of those guys' resumes, and I'm not too excited about any of those guys either.
Well, yeah, but when is there a free agent quarterback that you can't poke holes in? If guys at the peak of his game is 29 and killing it, he's not going to be a free agent. So that's what happens with older free agent quarterbacks. By the way, you're stating, the way you said that made it sound like they paid for Matthew Stafford's ski vacation and they brought him out specifically to ski. And that was like, you've already assumed, you've made the narrative that Tom Brady invited Stafford out to Yellowstone Club in Montana.
Yeah. I'm team Jordan on this one. I don't think there are any coincidences. Jordan Schultz was the one who broke that story, and then it was refuted by Ian Rappaport, and then the two almost came to blows in a Starbucks in Indianapolis, which you just can't make it up.
But
think they were trying to wine him and dine him a little. I think they were trying to sell him in person. Which is a smart idea by the Raiders.
But by the way, okay, I was really against the Giants signing Matthew Stafford. I thought it was crazy to use all that cap space and maybe some draft capital to get up for a guy who's not going to help you win anything more than 9 games. Same thing is true with the Raiders. What was Matthew Stafford going to do for this team? You said last week that a return to respectability is worth it, but the opportunity cost of a return to respectability is your salary cap's all messed up on Matthew Stafford, and you don't have a future quarterback. In 2 years, where are you? Well, you're back to Aiden O'Connell.
I think that they would say, we'll figure that out in 2 years.
Well, they won't. That's the thing. Like, how are they going to figure it out? There's no figuring it out. You're in limbo forever.
Well, or you decide you want to take a quarterback. Maybe you do like somebody, but you like a more like a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick. You know, Pete Carroll has a history, you know, in terms of finding Russell Wilson late in the draft when they were with Seattle. Maybe John Schneider, but you know what I'm saying? Like, developing a lower drafted quarterback. Tom Brady is obviously the most famous example. But I'm not saying Tom Brady is walking through that door. I'm just saying I bet this front office may be confident that they could groom somebody while Stafford would bring them back to respectability. And I did think that was a big thing of that's what they're looking at. Listen, the Raiders have not gotten off of, hey, we're going to win now. We're going to be competitive now. So clearly they've got something up their sleeves. and or this is just a whole lot of hot air?
Well, it's very hard to develop a late round quarterback. It rarely happens.
I get that.
I don't understand the win now mentality, except for Pete Carroll's age. And that's, you know, the more you say it, the more the whole plan doesn't make sense to me. And we have this big show argument. You have much more faith in Tom Brady, where I have no faith in him because I've never seen him be a team builder. I have no idea if he could do that. I do know that all the other GOATs are bad at it. I know Jordan was bad at it. I know Jeter was bad at it. So why do we think Tom Brady, again, I know you're always giving the benefit of the doubt. He's the smartest player I've ever seen. He's a great interview. He was, as a broadcaster, getting better.
Yeah.
But why do we have any clue? Why do we give the Raiders a benefit of the doubt? He's never built a team before, and he's in a very hard situation. I'm not sure there's any answer for the Raiders. I think they're in a tough spot.
Well, Pete Carroll admitted over the weekend that he talks to Tom Brady every day. So whatever you think, like, Brady is very, very, very much involved here. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt until I see it fail, unless he becomes the next Jeter or becomes the next Michael Jordan. I mean, John Elway is a little more of a mixed bag. But I guess what I would say is they now probably have to look at Shador Sanders, who is apparently, like, I don't want to say dropping. Like, how would you characterize this? The stories coming out of the draft this week is that Cam Ward has really separated himself away from Shador Sanders. Neither guy did any drills. They didn't do anything.
Well, I think the more accurate narrative is the reporters all found out that the NFL views Cam Ward as more of a number one overall than Shador.
And some of the good tape guys like Greg Cosell and others who we played clips of last week have been saying that. So, okay, maybe the rest of the league catches up. But this is a supply and demand thing. So if you're telling me that, okay, it's Cam Ward obviously one, and then, you know, space, and then Shador, that still means Shador could go two to Cleveland, Pearl, because Cleveland needs a quarterback. So I guess if I'm the Giants, at least I'm picking at three. I would have to trade less to get up to one or two if the picks are even available. If I'm the Raiders, can I really just say, all right, we're going to roll the dice and see if Shador's still there at six?
I mean, I think you're going to have to, possibly, because it's going to take a lot to get up to number one. I find the whole thing very fascinating. Cam Ward is going to go number one overall. I think that's because Abdul Carter has some injuries.
Yep.
Travis Hunter doesn't have a position. So it seems to me that Cam Ward is going number one. Now, you brought up a great question. We don't know exactly which team it is. Someone could trade up. So that leaves Cleveland in number two. Unless they trade up, they're looking at Shador Sanders or no one. And Adam Schefter reported on his podcast, he said, there's one thing I am certain of in this draft. He said one thing, Maggie.
Whoa, what?
That the Cleveland Browns are drafting a quarterback with a number two pick.
Okay, well, then there it is. Then the draft's over after the two picks. And then we'll see where Travis Hunter goes and some other interesting.
No, I think he was wrong. He said this a week ago. I think he might have been wrong about that. And it's weird the way he said it. He was so certain. He's like, the Browns are taking a quarterback. But then you have all these reports that the NFL does not view Shador as a number two overall kind of player. I think he's there for the Raiders. I don't know what the Browns do. I don't see them getting Shador. Now, I don't think Shador Sanders is number two. Just based on the reporting, the same reporting you saw,
sure,
that he's just not viewed that way by the NFL. I kind of like Shador. I think he's got
a lot
of personality. He made something out of nothing a million times in Colorado. How many times did we see the pass rush get to him immediately? Him scramble around and find some guy 30 yards downfield. I don't think he's the next Jaden Daniels, but I think he's good. And, like, we're talking about the Raiders. They just need good right now, right? Do they need, I mean, if you're not going to get possibly Matthew Stafford, isn't a Geno Smith, would you draft a young Geno Smith?
Yeah.
Would you draft a young Kirk Cousins and have competent play for a while?
I would, but again, am I trading up? Do I think he's going to be there at six? Like, if you go, it's just, you can't, there's no sure things when it comes to the draft, except for Tennessee, because they're drafting first. Yeah. Let's hear a little from Shador Sanders. This was him at the podium at the Combine. He says his experience of turning around both Colorado and Jackson State will help an NFL franchise.
I've been through six different OCs, you know, so I'm able to adjust to any offense and every scheme and make it work. We went from Jackson State to Colorado and changed two programs back to back. So you don't think I could come to an NFL franchise and change a program again? It's history. We've done it again. It's always going to repeat itself.
It's interesting. First of all, I think Deion gets all the credit for turning around programs, but maybe Shador should get some because he definitely stabilized the quarterback position, which we know is so important. The only thing about that,
you believe that?
I get the confidence, but again, like, the Big 12 is not the NFL. And that's not a disrespect to the Big 12.
The SWAC is definitely not the NFL.
Well, yeah, and Jackson State and the SWAC is definitely not. And listen, there's a reason why a lot of these teams picking at the top of the draft, Pearl, are bad and have been bad for a long time. And yeah, quarterbacks can come in and change it, but that's a tall order to ask to completely reset a culture and all of this stuff at an NFL level. I know he said history could repeat itself, but you're up against way more obstacles. You've got ownership. Yeah. You've got veterans on the team who are under contract and entrenched there. It's just a completely different calculus.
Right, but I think you have to take a leap when you look at any college prospect. If that is a very valid point, he came into a program and immediately stabilized them. Yeah, of course Colorado didn't play an NFL schedule, but nobody did. Cam Ward, his schedule was terrible.
Sure.
I mean, he played a Syracuse defense that I could have put up 45 points against and lost the game, ironically. So I don't think that's really necessarily the total story, just to say because they didn't play a great schedule. I think everything he's saying is true. I think he's got a huge personality. Maybe a team is looking for that. Maybe they're looking for all the smoke and all the noise and the podcast. I think it'd be smart for Cleveland to take him for all that, because anything to get all the news headlines off of Deshaun Watson would be a great idea. But there's also the argument that Cleveland doesn't want all that because they've had a very tricky quarterback situation. Maybe they want something a little quieter.
No, I think they would want it. I mean,
think they want the noise?
Yeah, I mean, what makes a fan base more hopeful than anything? Like a young rookie quarterback? Oh my gosh, you can't buy that kind of publicity. You can't buy that kind of hope. You know, and especially one who's as famous as Shador.
I agree.
Especially if Deion signs off on it and gives his blessing, then I think you're looking at something really exciting. I mean, the last time we were really talking about the Browns in a meaningful way was when Baker Mayfield went there and made them a lot more exciting.
I totally agree. And I think Kevin Stefanski, the coach, would be a great fit for Shador. He's got Njoku. He's got Jerry Jeudy. Probably won't have Nick Chubb. I imagine that's done. And he's got all these old offensive lineman. That's a win. I think that's actually a win a little bit now. Like, they could go 8-9 with Shador.
Well, I'll see what happens with Myles Garrett. Yeah, EJ, you look like you want to say something.
I mean, the question I would have, because I agree with all that, though, is we saw the question with Caleb Williams about what happens when he walks into an NFL locker room. Like, you had, you know, who was it? Jalen Johnson, who was like, you know, he's going to come in and fit in, you know?
Right.
And to me, Caleb Williams is like 10% of what Shador Sanders is bringing to the table in terms of all the attention and hoopla and the self-promotion. So my question is, like, how does he fit with an NFL locker room? He's coming in and already saying, like, hey, I'm just going to come somewhere and just turn things around. Like, that's just how it works when I show up.
Right.
Like, is this a Cam Newton situation again where he's like, I'm going to a place with a bunch of losers, and when I show up, now we're going to win? That's the one thing I do worry about a little bit, because he was feeling himself during his press conference.
Yeah. I mean, Cam backed it up.
Cam certainly did.
Wait, is Cam a good one or a bad?
No, Cam was good.
Cam was good. Like, Cam was the number one overall pick going away, you know.
But Cam's play backed it up. Like,
exactly.
Like Shador saying, I just show up and I'm going to be a certain guy. And I'm like, well, in the locker room, will they accept that? If it takes him a little time to get his ropes and get his feet underneath him. Like, Cam came in with 4,000 yards. Like, is Shador doing that year one?
Well, the other part, too, is I think everyone really respects Deion, but he's not going to be in that locker room. You know, it provides you a little bit of cover when your dad is Deion, right?
Definitely.
But again, Deion is so legendary that the guys who are in this pro locker room, I think, are going to respect him, but he's going to be tested in a different way.
But I think Shador is a pro. I mean, you have a good point. He grew up around the NFL. Doesn't feel like he's going to have any maturity issues to me. He's 23. I think he'd be just fine in all the intangible stuff. He's got a great personality. Also, again, this is a pretty good little offensive unit there. Remember Flacco got in there last, you know, as long as Deshaun's not playing quarterback, we've seen some guys have some big games there. I think 4,000 yards doesn't feel overly aggressive to me there. You think that'd be out of control successful?
I get the impression that he's going to maybe take a year to get his feet underneath him. I mean, did Caleb go 4,000 yards this year? Caleb was playing with Pro Bowlers.
But he's a
Pro
Bears
Bowl
quarterback.
Back, Pro Bowl receiver. Like, it's a Browns
Being
quarterback.
Being a Browns quarterback is a
maybe
death
worse.
Sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's been some big seasons in Cleveland. A few, at least. There's been nothing. The Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer ever in the history of the franchise.
I get it. I do
when
wonder.
When was the last big Browns quarterback
Well, Flacco was so good. Mayfield
For
had a couple
half
big
a season,
years.
Mayfield had a good year. They beat the Steelers in the playoffs.
Derek Anderson got them to the playoffs.
Joe Flacco.
But they built this sort of really good offense, trying to get, when Baker got there, they started putting a lot of resources. They have an offensive coach. I think their offense has been okay. Like, I mean, that's not actually my biggest worry about
Baker's
them.
Best season with the Browns in terms of yardage, he threw for 3,800 yards.
How many games?
16 games.
Not tops in the league. 855-212-4227. So these are just part of the dominoes that are falling now with Matthew Stafford off the table. So he re-signs with the Rams. So that means the Giants and the Raiders, who are in hot pursuit, definitely need to pivot, strong pivot. And any of these other quarterback needy teams now have to think, okay, am I going to check the veteran market with the likes of Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or even Sam Darnold? Or do I try to go into the draft? But this draft is basically two guys, and we're not even sure if the second guy, how great he is.
How about, there's a lot of reports that the Raiders also like Milrow. How about getting a guy at the top of the second and getting a very talented player at number six, or trading out of six? Because they have about 15 holes out of 22 roster spots. So I think there are other options too. If you're the Raiders, the whole thing is open for you. There's no, in my opinion, even though your coach is old, there should be no rush to win. You got to build a roster. If Tom Brady is this great team builder, you got to give him some time.
I would be worried that someone would trade back into the first round and jump me, you know?
For Jalen Milrow?
Maybe not Milrow, but I'd be worried a little about that because, you know, you want that fifth-year option or all those reasons that teams jump back into the first round.
How about a guy who can fill two different holes?
855-212-4227. That was said about Travis Hunter.
No, that was Travis. I can't remember where that soundbite came from. Factually true, though.
That was last week.
That's another. If Travis Hunter fell to the Raiders, oh my God, would they take that guy so fast?
Yeah. Can you imagine him as a Raider?
I don't think that Travis Hunter would get past the Patriots.
There's no way. There's no way he gets past four or Jacksonville five. There's no way he's getting the Raiders, but wouldn't that be cool? That would be amazing.
I could see the Patriots passing on him.
Good.
For McMillan.
Oh, Tedrow McMillan from Arizona, the wide receiver.
I don't know. There's some buzz that Ted McMillan might not even be the number one receiver anymore, but...
Well, who?
Yeah, who's topping him?
Well...
Travis?
Matthew Golden was on fire this weekend. Matthew Golden got a 4.3. Some people have Ted McMillan in mock drafts at 5, other have him at 15. There's a lot of receivers, so I don't know.
I think they'd be crazy to let him fall out of top 10.
I think it's him at the top, and then everyone else is vying for second place.
This is so stupid, but we got to see him run too, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't run. Golden from Texas did run and ran that really fast time, but then didn't do anything else. So I don't know how much this really matters.
Golden said he was going to challenge Xavier Worthy, and he didn't, and Worthy was very happy about that.
I'm sure.
Media.
Wait, Golden said that? Because I remember Isaiah Bond was the one who...
Bond. I'm sorry, Matt.
Yeah, Isaiah. A couple guys said we're going to set the all-time record, and then didn't even come close. Jaden Blue said I'm going to blow away Xavier Worthy, the Texas running back. But you're right, it's just a 40. I'm just thinking, like, star power. You get Travis Hunter in the black and silver. Is there anybody who wouldn't buy that jersey? I'm buying it day one.
855-212-4227. Doesn't make Raider fans feel any better about the quarterback situation, though. You know? It's like, it's cool to have Travis Hunter. That's awesome. But who's throwing in the ball? I still want to know. Let's go to Rick, who's in Sacramento. I told a story last hour about how we had this really nice birthday dinner for my mom over the weekend. Went to this fancy restaurant, and the waiter didn't write down the order and got a few things wrong. And so, Rick, you wanted to weigh in on that.
Yeah, I love your show. I listen every day.
Oh, thank you.
So I recently went to an IHOP in Sacramento for breakfast. This lady, this waitress, she's there. You know, I've been there several times. She took an order for 8 people and didn't write anything down and got everything right. And I sat there and ate my breakfast and watched her. And then she had another party of 10, didn't write anything down and got everything right. I just think people are blessed with a good memory. And I asked her, I said, how long have you worked here? She said 25 years.
Whoa.
So I'm thinking she has that memory to memorize the menu. So what do you guys think?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I know. It's an amazing skill.
Right.
But see, Rick, here's the thing. She knows she's got that skill. She's got 25 years in the game, right? She's proven it over and over again. Party of 8, party of 10, probably party of 12.
Yes.
Who knows how high this could go? The guy who is waiting on our table, well, you know, I'd love to see the track record because, you know, he was like a B minus.
At best, that was a compliment. Huh?
I mean, and you know, it wasn't a cheap meal. And I'm not saying that it matters about the price, right? Because, you know, IHOP a little bit more affordable. You just want what you want. See, that's the thing. And Rick, thanks for the call and thank you for listening and weighing in. At times, it's not even like, I didn't even dock him anything on the tip. It's not about that. It's just, I wanted the Caesar salad.
So you're lucky that, the men who were there were lucky that there were women there because the men would have just ate whatever we got. Like, we're all afraid to go after the waiter.
Well, let me ask you a side question.
Yes.
Do you guys send stuff back?
I do not.
Yeah, I'm very cautious about sending stuff back.
I've never done that.
Okay.
I know people who do. I do not. And I worked in the restaurant industry for a long time, and from my vantage point, I never saw anyone mess with a dish. Like, I've never, ever seen that, but it still is my fear.
I don't even fear that as much. It's just, I don't know. It feels tacky to me.
Well, it depends what it is. Like, if it's wrong, okay, then you could send it back.
Wrong is different.
But if it's
some people are like, you know, this is like, this steak is not medium.
Cooked well,
whatever. Like, I just...
Well, it depends. Is it, you know, if something's raw, if it's really, really, you know, really messed up, you got to do it.
No, that, and maybe there's a time that's happened, but like, if it's like, some people just, it's not to their liking. Like, you know, there's not enough cheese on this burger. There's not, again, you didn't season this correctly.
Right.
There are people who do that, and that to me is like, that's too much.
See, I like salad dressing on the side, but if it comes with the dressing on, I just eat it. Like, I'm not going to send it back and make a whole new salad.
Yeah, but there are people.
I know.
They will say, "Hey, send this back. Make it entirely new." I don't know.
Yeah, it's not great.
The judgment I feel for not even I'm not even judging them, but I know everyone else is. I'm just like, ugh, couldn't do that. Couldn't be me.
855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do, including we're asking you about dominoes that are falling for quarterbacks. What should the Raiders do at QB? Manny's waving at me. Hi. I can hear you. Throw it to break. Okay. I'm going to throw it to break. Coming up, we are excited. We're going to talk to Chris Rose, who's anchoring NFL Network's coverage of the scouting combine. We'll get his take from boots on the ground and what it was like up close and personal. Don't move. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Manny is starting off Monday with a bunch of 80s and 90s songs. Love it. Little aha. All right, Andrew Bogus, give us some headlines.
Guys, we are not done with Jimmy Butler causing problems in Miami, apparently. A company filed suit with the now Warrior last week saying that Butler didn't pay rent and did significant damage to a luxury home he was renting in Miami Beach. The suit is looking for $260,000 in missing rent and $127,000 for those damages.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And he's paying the barista, right, Maggie?
I was going to say, how much coffee can you spill in one place that would lead to, what did you say, $160,000 in damages?
$260,000 in rent, $127,000 in damages. Maybe the Starbucks wasn't up to code. Now they got to break it down. That's going to cost some money.
Like,
I don't know.
But it got a C rating by the Miami.
Okay, let's just take the side of the landlord for a second here. You're Jimmy Butler. You've made $1 gajillion. Why are you not paying your rent?
I just think when Jimmy Butler gets into his mode, I'm going to be just a jerk.
Right.
It just means to everybody. So it's not just Pat Riley. It goes to probably the barista that worked for him. He probably fired his landlord. He's probably like, screw you. Like, I just think anybody
I mean, that's
anybody
that's
around
so
him,
immature.
You got to get into character. I think he's gotten into character, just like John Cena. He's turned heel.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, that was only 2 months of rent, by the way. When I saw that price, I was like, oh, wow, he must have not paid for like a year. That's 2 months that he didn't pay, and it was $260,000.
Did you see his house from the Starting Five Netflix doc?
I mean, yeah,
but isn't that the most expensive rent in the country? Even like the high-end New York places, do they cost that much?
Right, exactly. That
also, why don't you own your place? You're Jimmy Butler. You've been in Miami for, what, 7 years now? How long has he played for the Heat?
And it's Miami. Like, I get renting in, like, Cleveland because you leave and go back to Miami, like, out of season. But my guess is he's always there, right?
Yeah.
So he drives around in a van in the off season.
That's true.
Loves country music. That's legit. He follows a bunch of country acts around the country. He's an unusual guy.
Well, I mean, a lot of people like country music. He's from Texas, after all. But I can't imagine you wouldn't buy your place. But I don't know, interest rates now, tough out there. What else you got, folks?
Actual basketball last night. A lot happening between the Thunder and Spurs in San Antonio.
Jaylen on the handle, crossing over twice, sizing up the cell, spins down the lane, across his body goes glass, and bangs home a gorgeous 10-foot shot. Oh, JW, don't be so mean.
Matt Pinto, Thunder Radio. Jaylen Williams, a career-high 41 in a 146-132 OKCW. In the third quarter of this one, three players ejected. Lou Dort and Kenrick Williams from the Thunder, Julian Champagne from the Spurs for a minor-ish scuffle. Don't ask Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
For details.
I don't know. It was a blur. I just tried to separate the blur as best as I could. But, yeah, I don't even know how it started, what happened. Figure it out.
SGA scored 31 last night. His team is now one game behind the Cavs for the best record in the league. The T-Wolves kept the Suns struggling, 116-98 in Phoenix. Anthony Edwards scored 44, while the Suns lost for the 11th time in 14 games. And the Lakers beat the Clippers 108-102. That's six in a row for L.A. And the Florida Panthers have placed Matthew Tkachuk on IR with a groin injury that he suffered during the famed Four Nations faceoff. Guys, back to you.
Yeah, there were some ripple effects from that Four Nations Cup. At the time, we were just like, yeah, this is awesome. It's like, oh, these guys aren't playing for a while.
Yeah, we had a guy's like arm almost fell off because of an infection. He's probably maybe out for the rest of the regular season. A lot happened. There was some fallout.
Still cool, though.
Still loved it. Loved it.
Still loved it. Not
except
so much
for the end.
For the end. Yeah. Yeah, except for the end, but also not so much for, you know, people who are in like some kind of cup chase, but... it was cool. Always got those memories. Boston. All right. Let's turn our attention. Thank you, Bogish. Let's turn our attention to Indianapolis Perloff Scouting Combine.
Baby.
Chris Rose, an award-winning broadcaster, is anchoring so much of NFL Network's coverage from Indy, and he joins us now. Chris, thanks so much for the time. How was Indy?
It was great. It's always fun. It's amazing draft prep for all of us here at NFL Network, so... hard to believe we're about 7 weeks away from Green Bay. And I mean, the fun never stops in the NFL. 1 week from today, we got our free agency frenzy. Everybody's going to be changing teams. There'll probably be some trades, probably be some extensions along the way. And then after that, it's all about the kids.
Chris, you've covered a bunch of combines. Maggie and I were talking about, I mean, it always seems like some of the guys that we want to see desperately don't work out. What is the vibe of the combine? Did we get a lot of guys working out or not a lot of guys working out? Was it more or less active than usual?
I would say that of the top end guys, like Daniel Jeremiah puts out his top 50 list. And there were a bunch in the top 10 that did not partake. Obviously the top two quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shador Sanders, Ashton Genty, the top running back out of Boise State, did not go. There were a couple of edge guys that didn't go, some cornerbacks. Now, listen, I think part of this is due to the extended college playoff. I think that some of these guys are just beat up. You know, you added a few college games to some of the bigger name programs. You did see a bunch of guys from, let's say, Ohio State that passed on some of the testing, right, like the 40. But then they did end up doing the drills and performed exceptionally well. So there were a bunch of those guys as well. You know, it is always fun to see the 40s. Those are great theater, great entertainment for us. But, you know, listen, the most important stuff, and everybody will tell you this, and we told you this on the broadcast over the weekend, is the stuff we don't see. It's the medicals. It's the meetings with the teams. And those are probably going to be the biggest deciders in terms of guys moving up and down anyway.
Chris Rose is joining us, is anchoring NFL Network's coverage of the Combine from Indianapolis, and will be doing much more for the draft. Also love baseball podcast, the Chris Rose Rotation. You're multi-sport, Chris, and we know that about you. You know, it's funny because it didn't really seem like the quarterbacks were the thing this time, Chris. You know, you got to see them up close and personal. Cam and Shador did not participate, as you just mentioned. Was there anyone else you were impressed by as far as the QBs? Or, you know, I feel like the biggest thing coming out of here was that Will Howard from Ohio State didn't do that well, did not perform well. What should we know about these QBs?
Yeah, I mean, listen, those first two guys are obviously going to go high in the draft. So will there be a third quarterback that maybe a team at the top of the second round is worth jumping back in for? And I say that because if you look at the draft order, five of the top seven teams don't have a solid future quarterback, right? It's Tennessee, it's Cleveland, it's the Giants, it's the Jets, and it's the Raiders. And all those teams are picking in the top seven. So which of those teams might, at the top of the second round, be willing to say, hey, we'll give that extra fifth-year option to, you know, to draft a quarterback and move into a 32nd spot where Philadelphia might be, to be where Buffalo is, you know, picking at the end of the first round, things of that nature. There were a bunch of big names that did throw on Saturday. Dylan Gabriel had more than 60 starts for Oregon. I was actually impressed with the way the ball came out of his hand. I didn't know he had that much pop. Now, he's not a big guy, right? He's 5'11". And so he's going to have to fit the needs of a specific team. But Jackson Dart has got 41 career starts. There's a guy named Tyler Shuck who played 7 years in college, was actually at one point Justin Herbert's backup at Oregon, just to tell you how long he's been around. He's got 4 degrees. He's got a big arm. He's 25 years old already. I don't think that scares off teams in today's NFL world. But there's going to be a bunch of guys, I think, that will go certainly in round three and possibly in round two.
Chris, one of the quarterbacks, Jalen Milroe, magically grew his hands a half an inch.
Yes.
What was this scuttlebutt around Indy? Were you guys shocked when you saw that measurement of 9 3/8?
Well, so I'm trying to figure out how to make myself grow as well after all of these years, but also diminish in certain areas. Like if there's a hip or a waist doctor that can trim that for my time, I'm still looking for that person in Indy. That's all dealt with how they measure. And so, you know, people aren't growing. Like Dylan Gabriel did grow, like, I think it was maybe 3/8 of an inch in between his measurement at the Senior Bowl and his time here in Indy. It's all about the measurements, gang.
Perloff, big believer in the hand size thing. I was not.
Yeah, I get it.
Then Kenny Pickett kind of didn't really work out with the Steelers, and I was like, maybe Perloff was right.
Yeah, that hand. Well, I think we got past that with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's a great point. I should use him as my example. Chris Rose is joining us. Of course, love watching him. NFL Network does a fantastic job and amazing anchoring coverage from the combine. A couple more for you, Chris. And again, thanks so much for doing this. And not to just be harping on the quarterbacks, but, you know, we are hearing some whispers that somehow Cam Ward has really separated himself from Shador Sanders. And, you know, neither guy worked out. You know, we have nothing new to go on as far as, you know, working out or showing us anything. So why do you think that is, your best guess, or if you have firsthand knowledge of why and how Cam Ward has separated himself over these last few days?
It's a great question. I think people just like his skill set better, right? I mean, today's NFL world is about being able to create when you are in trouble and things of that nature. And, you know, Shador, the best thing he does is stand in that pocket. He will take a hit and he will deliver the ball. But I think that Cam Ward has probably got some traits that allow teams to say, well, when things break down, and they do at this level, because look at what the edge rushers were doing out here with the testing, because those guys are getting, you know, faster and faster. You have to be able to keep plays alive, and you have to be able to create. If you look at the 14 quarterbacks that played in the playoffs this year, how many of them were strictly pocket passers? There weren't a lot. You know, Stafford at his age, he's now 37. Goff, I'm trying to think if there was anybody else that you would call strictly a pocket passer. But I don't think it's too many more. So guys, even if they're not all Lamar or Josh Allen with their escapability, they have the ability to keep plays alive. And, yeah, they can kill you at times with their legs. So I think that that's probably the biggest factor, in my opinion. And I just think that when you get this many football heads in one city, that the noise gets louder.
You know, Chris, watching the NFL Network a lot this weekend, I noticed when Shador was on camera, a lot of people were talking to him. Felt like he had some magnetism to me, some riz, as the kids say. Did you notice Shador Sanders kind of drawing a lot of attention? And is that a positive or a negative?
So I think it can be debated either way, because he is so different than I think virtually any quarterback that's ever come into this league, right? I mean, he is the kid of 101. I mean, there's not a second Deion Sanders walking this planet. There just isn't. So he has constantly had a camera in his face. And, you know, his point was when he was at the podium, he said, listen, what I do is turn programs around. I did it at Jackson State. I did it at Colorado. And I'm going to do it for some team out there. And if there are teams that pass on me, well, then that's your fault. He's got an abundance of confidence, and he's got a great jeweler, which is awesome.
Clearly he's taken after you, Chris, and is copying a lot of your style.
Yeah, I know. That's all right. You know, some of us were here before him, and he's just got to respect the OGs when it comes to that game.
It's flattery, but, really. You know, it's a compliment.
Yeah. Perloff, are you wearing that right now or no?
Grill on. That's why I sound funny right now.
It's really just a Monday thing for McLovin. That's what he likes to wear.
Exactly.
Chris,
or something like that.
Last one from me. And again, thanks so much for doing this. We're talking to Chris Rose from NFL Network. Also, his baseball podcast, Chris Rose Rotation, is a must listen. Best nugget you got, story, something, you know, that was a little off the beaten path, maybe. If someone said, "Oh, what's the wackiest thing you heard at the combine or something like that?" What would your answer be?
Yeah, probably just the Will Howard story that he was outside in Indianapolis a couple nights before throwing on the field, throwing deep passes in parking lots in Indianapolis, and there was a certain NFL coach that may or may not have walked by and just stopped and stood and stared and watched. And probably got an extra evaluation session in late night in the streets of Indy, more than just seeing him throw it on Saturday. Maybe that's why he was a little all over the place, that he had been, you know, throwing through parking. If he had done this in a parking lot on Saturday instead of inside of Lucas Oil, perhaps the performance would have been a bit better.
Maybe that's good for teams, you know, with no dome. Maybe he's like, I'm just more of an outdoor guy, you know?
That's fine.
They're hard to find. That could be good.
Always putting a positive spin on it. That's the way you are.
I just wonder, was that a coincidence, or was this like a Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady in Montana thing? Like a little bit, it was like kind of planned, you know? Like, was this coach just happened to be walking by, or did the agent set this up as a coincidence?
So that's a great question. With the way that people roam the streets of Indy after, you know, stuffing their belly with great steakhouses down here, it might have just been a random. That's what I'm guessing. That's what I'm guessing. But in the NFL, you never know.
By the way, Chris, your cohort Rich Eisen made at least 150 jokes about Ian Rappaport getting in a scuffle up in a Starbucks. Did you go there during the telecast at all, or...?
I would take the over on the number of whatever number the, you know, the line was set at. I'm taking the over on the bit. Ian, for people that don't know, sits right next to the concourse desk that I anchor. He's literally 8 feet away. So every time that Rich and DJ would mention something, I would look over and see if I got an eye roll or something like that. I think I did one toss.
Yeah.
To him and said, you know, we have an order for Ian. I think after that, it had run its course. So I think the good news is that Rap Sheet, for the most part, won that battle at the end of the day, and hopefully we'll put this one to rest.
Well, I mean,
this is the first time I've ever heard police presence.
You work with two loose cannons and Charles Davis and Peter Schrager. I mean,
yeah,
to contain those guys, because they have so, yeah, honestly, the two most likable people, except for yourself, in Indy. I can't, so you have the advantage of working with great dudes. And not that Ian isn't, by the way. He's a great dude as well.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, even Ian, with his whole bit, is hilarious. When you talk to him, like I brought my son, he's a freshman at Butler. I brought him down to the combine on Saturday, and he walks past here and he's like, that guy is hilarious. I'm like, really? You think he's funny? And Rappaport looks up, he goes, of course I'm funny. You know, he's just that's just his old shtick. He is, Ian doesn't mind patting himself on the back, and he should. He does a heck of a job for us, so it's always great being around him as well.
Yeah, Chris, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I don't want this to end between Ian and Jordan. I want round two. I want round three. Let's get this to an IHOP. Can we upgrade to an Applebee's? Like, is there, I want everywhere you can buy food and drinks. I want Ian and Jordan Schultz going at it. Chris Rose, you can watch him on NFL Network. You can listen and watch Chris Rose Rotation podcast. It's fantastic. Thanks for doing this, Chris. Appreciate it. Great job.
My pleasure, gang. Take care.
Okay, talk to you soon. That's Chris Rose.
I need to see something bloody.
Yes. Yes, I do. Even if it goes down at a Starbucks. Lots more to unpack off of what Chris said and more from the Scouting Combine next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing song, Africa by Toto. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Angie Perloff. So we just had Chris Rose, who was anchoring NFL Network's coverage of the Scouting Combine on last segment. If you missed it, you can always hit the rewind function on the absolutely free to download Odyssey app, or you can check out the Maggie and Perloff podcast, where we would always appreciate a 5-star review. It's a small thing, goes a long way. And one of the big things that Chris said why Cam Ward has seemingly separated himself from Shedeur Sanders, even though neither guy worked out or anything during the scouting combine, is because it looks like NFL executives, Pearl, like Cam Ward's skill set a lot more than Shedeur. Shedeur kind of more of a purely pocket passer, where Cam Ward's more of a dual threat.
Again, I understand what you're saying. Cam Ward, I think, is just a little more talented than Shedeur. The ball comes out of his hand probably a little bit better than Shedeur. But I don't buy this that Shedeur is this pure pocket quarterback. It reminds me a lot of C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud never ran at Ohio State, then got to the NFL, and guess what? He can move as well as any quarterback, except for like the Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts types. He's very mobile. So I think Shedeur actually, and I know I might be on an island on this one, can move a lot better than people think. I think he's going to scramble a lot more than you expect his rookie year.
Well, he might have to.
Yeah.
There could be a running for your life situation, but let's be honest. There was a running for your life situation in Colorado, and he took a ton of sacks.
Yeah, but he also made a ton of plays. A ton of plays with a terrible offensive line.
Right. So I'll go back to one thing that Greg Cosell, the talent scout, said about Shedeur, which is he was going backwards a lot at Colorado.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing you really cannot do in the NFL. Now, I don't know if he's going to end up going to a team that's got a great offensive line. You know, generally the bad teams don't have good offensive lines, or else other quarterbacks, like if the Raiders had this, great wall in front, then maybe Matthew Stafford would have taken them a little bit more seriously. Same for the Giants. They don't. And so I'm a little concerned that Shedeur is going to take a lot of punishment in that first season. But maybe you're right. Maybe he's got this amazing ability to scramble that we just didn't see that much in college.
Not amazing, but he can move fine. I mean, the key is getting rid of the ball. And by the way, Cam Ward runs backwards, forwards, sideways. Cam Ward holds on the ball for 11 seconds every time he drops back. So even if you have a mobile quarterback, if you can't protect him at all, that's trouble.
So why do you think Cam Ward now has separated himself if it's not the skill set?
Well, I mean, I think Cam Ward's just overall more explosive. I've always thought he's a more explosive quarterback. Like, he's kind of like Mahomes light, right? You see plays where he's running around and he just flips it with under sort of sidearm and it goes 30 yards down the field. Shedeur doesn't have that at all.
Right.
Shador's got to have a base behind him and throw the ball like a normal quarterback. Cam's kind of a freak a little bit.
I think that Shedeur really models his game after Tom Brady. And listen, nobody knows if you're going to have that clutch gene like Tom Brady did, or you're going to be as smart as Tom Brady. And you can't expect him to come into the league and be that way. Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady when he first got in the league. But that's what I think. He has really tried to be the distributor, right? Like Shedeur's not the system. He's a piece of the system, which is something that you said definitely about Brady for a long time, and that he's just will always make the right 8-yard slant read, and he will slice and dice you to death.
Yeah.
Brady was not Mr. Big Arm, huge, big play guy.
But Brady was Mr. Quick Release.
Yep.
Yeah, know exactly what's going to happen before the play. I can see Shedeur developing that sort of having a mental edge.
Yep.
I mean, the problem is at Colorado, Shedeur did not do that. He held on the ball because I don't know why. Also, he had burners at Colorado. He had to let them get down the field. He was a little different. But when you hear him talk about football, he sure seems like, I agree with that, like he's kind of a cerebral quarterback. Cam Ward, probably, it's just a different style. He reminds me more of the Patrick Mahomes camp, where you're just going to try to be creative and make weird plays.
855-212-4227. Yes.
One thing that Chris said that really caught my attention, and I wish I'd heard it earlier, he said that the ball came out of Dylan Gabriel, the Oregon quarterback's hand, really fast and really strong. I saw the same thing. I watched the same workout he did, and Dylan Gabriel was overthrowing guys by 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Cannon. And then I read all this draft review that he had to torque his body and did not have a strong arm. I'm like, well, I didn't see that. So I took down my tweet about how awesome Dylan Gabriel's arm strength was, because all the experts are like, it wasn't good. His video was crazy. He was overthrowing everybody. So I think he's got a good arm.
Do you care that he's 5'11 and 1/8?
I do care overall.
And 205 pounds.
Yes, I totally care. But I don't think that you can say that he doesn't have the arm strength, because I remember at Oregon, the ball comes out pretty hard. Like, he's throwing rockets. So I do think he's interesting. I think he deserves a little more buzz, like second or third round.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. 855-212-4227.
You thought he was a first rounder during the season, and I don't think your analysis was off at all.
I thought he was going to have a season like Bo Nix did at Oregon and play himself into the first round, but that never really happened, did it? Okay, more from the scouting combine next.
Nerd Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.